You say, I am a king. My kingdom is not of this world. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. The kingdom of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, is not an earthly or political phenomenon. It's something that goes beyond, transcends, but also includes politics, borders, geography, nations, races, genders, ages, all things earthly. It's a matter of all creation, of recognizing Jesus Christ as God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He is Lord, He is Master, He is Savior, and He is our coming Judge. He is the eternal Word from whom all good things come, and by whom all things were made. All created things, ourselves, human beings in particular, whether we acknowledge and accept it or not, all things, all persons are subject to His rule. Those who acknowledge and obey Him, He presents to His Father's immense majesty as an eternal and universal kingdom. We are His body. We are His church. All of us together, those of us on earth, the saints in heaven, the suffering souls of purgatory, all baptized persons throughout the entire world, baptized and redeemed, united in faith and in love and in the sacraments here on earth, we are His kingdom. We are His body. We are His church. Eternally and universally, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, of love, and of peace. However, sometimes we might see individuals within the church who act and behave outside of the truth of the teachings of Christ, outside of the truth and teachings of His church. These individuals might be laypersons, but they could also be among the clergy, including the religious and the bishops and the popes. It includes politicians, any public persons who may think they have any semblance of power. We have many people in the world who call themselves Christians, who call themselves Catholic, who ignore the truth of Jesus Christ. And they ignore His truth in favor of human opinion, whether it's their own opinion or the opinions of others. In this, we see these individual Christians acting unjustly and unfairly toward others. We see them acting without charity or without compassion for others. They love themselves more than they love God. They love themselves above God and above neighbor. We see these Christians, so-called, working to destroy lives and to destroy livelihoods. They mock and demean those who labor for bodily purity and for the dignity of human life from conception to natural death. These so-called Christians will promote perversion and degradation. Now, it's true. We cannot judge, we know that. However, we can and we must, as a prophetic people, as a priestly people, call sin for what it is. Acknowledge sin for what it is, call it out, and to cry out for conversion, just as the prophets did of old. It's a very sad thing. You know, time and again throughout history, the church has had some problems, and we're at that point once again, as it has so many times before. The church is beginning to fragment and could seemingly fall apart at any time. Just like our nation is beginning to fragment and may seem to can fall apart. Our world doing the very same thing. But we have to remember who we are and to what we belong. As Christians who belong to the kingdom of Christ, we must be above and beyond all of that stuff in the world. We must extend mercy and sacrificial love as the priestly people of God. We are the ones here that Christ is calling to preserve unity and to preserve peace. The question is, how do we do it? Are we offering, as a people of God, as His priestly people, daily prayer and daily penance? These two means are great means, good means, great means of sanctifying the world, of begging God for His mercy and extending His mercy to ourselves by our forgiveness and our reconciliation. Consider this. The great crisis of modern times comes from the fact that Christians are too content to remain mediocre. That's our problem. We're the problem. We remain mediocre. What do I mean by that? We pray when we feel like it or if we need something. We go to Mass when it's convenient and if we have time for it. And if we go to Mass, we pay little attention and then we dismiss the things that we hear in the homily or in the gospel. We forget about fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. We forget about fasting or giving up something as a sacrifice on every Friday of the year as a way of uniting ourselves to the sacrifice of Christ. It's an important thing to do. We forget about offering up our daily sacrifices, the trials, the troubles, the little miseries we have every day, the problems with our health, or whatever it may be. These things we offer with Christ for the salvation of the world. We go to confession if and whenever we get to it. We're filled with self-love, with self-absorption. We're just happy to get by and do as little as possible, focusing on fun and leisure and having a comfortable life. The problem with that is that this world, important though it might be, this world begins to take precedence over heaven. We forget that we're going to die. We forget that we're going to be judged. And what happens? We become like the world itself, and we forget about Christ altogether. Brothers and sisters, we are Christians. We're not made for this. You and I were made for sanctity, to be saints, as St. Paul says. We were made for greatness by the grace of God. If we want peace, it's said that we must work for justice, and that is true. But consider that there is no justice without love, and that God Himself is love, and that those who truly love abide in God and God abides in them, and that, brothers and sisters, is holiness. That we love God who first loved us. We're simply giving back to God what He gave us in the first place, and in that love we obey Him, we serve Him, He gives us His grace, and we become transformed. That is holiness. It's living in Jesus and allowing Jesus to live in us. It's holiness that comes through grace, and grace comes through obedience, and obedience is the fruit of love. That's the problem with our world. We have no interior life. We're not in love with Jesus Christ. We're not anticipating eternal life in heaven. We're not willing to do all that He asks us to do because, quite simply, we don't love Him enough. And love is the transformative agent. Nothing can change and never will change unless we love Jesus Christ, unless we love and live His truth, unless we love and live His word, unless you and I abandon sin and that desire for simple mediocrity and live in holiness and grace. The problem is that the world no longer hungers or thirsts for God. It doesn't hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Why? It's already full. It's full of itself. We don't hunger for God because we're too full of ourselves, and thus nothing happens. We never change. There is no justice without love, and God Himself is love. If we want peace, it can only come through obedience to Jesus Christ. The prophet Micah says, walk humbly with your God. We have to keep in mind that God is God and that we are not. Mankind is not God. The Pope is not God. The bishops are not God. Priests are not God. No human entity, however powerful it may think itself, is God. God alone is the Lord. As Moses said to the people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone." He is the King. You and I are His subjects. He is the Master. You and I are His servants. He is the Lord, and there is no other. Now, if I said anything today to make you feel guilty, that's perfectly fine. That's okay. And I'll tell you why. As Jesus says, be of good cheer. Think of the crucifixion. There's Jesus on the cross, two thieves on either side. The first one to recognize Jesus as king and to receive the kingdom promised by Christ was a thief, one of those thieves, the good thief, a repentant crucified thief who asked his likewise crucified king for mercy. Jesus, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the response was, amen, I say to you, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He asked for mercy, an entrance into his kingdom, and it was granted to him. As Psalm 29 says, the Lord sits as king forever. When you and I wholly and entirely and trustfully give ourselves subject to him, then the Lord will bless his people with his peace.